living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
So I'm back with Dr. Jonathan Aviv. He's clinical professor and attending physician at Mount Sinai, New York. And he has a book available on Amazon called Killing Me Softly. Dr. Aviv, let's finish our discussion quickly, just in about a minute or so, about the acidic foods and alkaline foods, and then we'll move into heartburn. Right. What about alkaline foods? What are some of the foods we should be eating more?
In a sentence, green is good. Almost any green vegetable is, if not alkaline, is certainly not acidic. It's high in fiber. It helps and revs up metabolism. It's excellent for anyone with reflux disease. And frankly, if you look at the data on the DASH diets, which is the dietary alternative to stopping hypertension, there's a lot of data behind this. A diet where you have a lot of vegetables, in particular, has a lot of health benefits, and touching on what we talked about earlier on reducing inflammation in the body. So green is good.
Yeah, so my mom was right. Eat the greens, right? Which I hated doing as a kid. She would make me sit at the table until I ate them, and it would be like 8 o'clock at night. I remember that. It was not fun, but she was absolutely correct.
And look at you now.
Yeah, she forced them down, I promise you. Let's move on then to... Now, when we were talking about, you know, the effect of acidic foods, you were focused a lot in that upper, you know, gastrointestinal region, the esophagus, the some of those causes there. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, a common belief is that heartburn, for instance, is too much acid, but that's not really true, is it? It's really about acidic stuff in the wrong place, right?
Exactly. So heartburn is, it's not such a great term, right? What does it have to do with the heart? It has nothing to do with the heart. What it is, though, it's the feeling of a burning sensation in the chest that can, frankly, go all the way up the chest and sometimes into the throat. While it can be caused by food we eat, really, it can happen in two different ways, not only from things coming up from the stomach, but also from things coming down from the mouth. And this is something that a lot of people don't know, and it really puts the whole alkaline ash diet and the theory about the wisdom of putting acidic things in your mouth in question. There are receptors called pepsin, P-E-P-S-I-N, in the throat and the esophagus. Now, pepsin is an enzyme that is typically located in the stomach, and it breaks down protein or food, and it gets activated at very acidic levels in the body. And the stomach is the, if you will, the natural habitat of pepsin. However, when you reflux or under other circumstances, these pepsin receptors can travel very far away from the stomach. They can end up in the throat. They can end up in the esophagus. Frankly, they can end up in the sinuses. They can end up in the back of your teeth. Okay, so you have these receptors, and they're dormant. They're quiet. And then here comes a soda, or here comes some lemon juice, or some lime juice, or some vinegar. And what happens? Suddenly, these receptors, which have been quiet, suddenly get activated, and it starts breaking down your very own tissues. So what you eat starts eating you. And this could contribute to significant swelling and irritation in the throat, in the esophagus, in the sinuses, in the lungs. And this is something that no one really knows about. This is scientific work that sort of was uncovered about a decade ago, beginning in England. And, you know, connecting the dots where it's not only things coming up that irritate, but things that come down from the mouth, from above, if you will, can also cause a tremendous amount of inflammation because these receptors then get activated.
Let me do want to back up just for a sec. You've mentioned it a couple times now, the alkaline ash diet. You know, this, you know, for instance, I've had Patricia Braggs on my show before. She, you know, the Bragg family's been in the industry for a long time. They produce apple cider vinegar. Right. And she always talks about some of the benefits of that, specifically to the metabolic syndrome. There was some research last year that came out. Even Life Extension, where I work, we talked about that. Are we saying we should never use those types of acids, or should it be something that we control and be careful with? I mean, where do you fall?
We have to be very careful with it. I'm a huge fan, for instance, of Bragg's liquid aminos. For instance, I use it as a vinegar substitute, as a soy sauce substitute. It's in the recipes and killing me softly from inside. But when it comes to vinegar, when you have, we talked about pH, when you have an acidity level that's below 4 and especially below 3, which are extremely acidic, you can't help but activate these pepsin receptors, which then causes a tremendous amount of inflammation in the upper airways. And this is something that people just don't know about and they don't understand. So the health benefits that are described, I say yes, but at the same time, if you are a refluxer, and we're talking about 60 million people, you have to be very, very cautious about using things that can activate these receptors and then in turn cause a tremendous amount of inflammation. I mean, I see singers coming in and saying, oh, yeah, you know, they're dogging like this. And they say they're so hoarse because their chords look like kielbasa. They look like big sausages. Instead of thin violin strings, they're huge. And they don't realize that in their attempt to treat themselves, they end up inadvertently hurting themselves. But the good news is it's easily reversible.
Well, let's talk about reversing all this. Now, before you do that, though, I want to get your take on the proton pump inhibitors. You know, these are drugs that are making the pharmaceutical companies billions and billions of dollars. Do you think these are safe to take every day?
Well, this is the story. You have to really analyze this on a case-by-case basis. For instance, if you've, in your practice and your experience, you've ever taken care of someone who has something called stenosis. Stenosis is scarring of the windpipe. If you have a scarred windpipe, you often can't breathe normally, and you're often subject the rest of your life to a trach, meaning a tube coming out of your neck so you could breathe. And it was found several years ago that a lot of these people that developed these severe stenoses was because of insufficiently or untreated acid reflux. So drugs that suppressed acid, like the proton pump inhibitors, frankly, save these people's lives and certainly improve the quality of their life. However, I think that the future is going to be about food as medicine as opposed to food as poison. And I know this is something that you and your institute are really, really big on, and I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that more and more people are coming into my practice and they say up front, they say, look, I've heard about proton pump inhibitors, and it could affect the bones, it could affect the kidney, it could affect the heart. Look, sometimes in these situations, and you have to assess it case by case, people need these medications.
Yeah,
right.
Well, it's a benefit risk analysis. I want to move on because we only got about 60 seconds. How do you treat heartburn, real quick, Dr. Raviv?
Unless someone has a precancerous lesion in their esophagus or one of these severe masses or narrowings in the larynx, I go right away to what I call the acid watcher diet, which is a low acid, high fiber diet that has a balanced amount of the three macronutrients.
Okay, we're gonna have to leave it there.
Medicine.
It's killing me softly. I'm sure you can read all about that there. It's available at Amazon.com. His name is Dr. Jonathan Aviv. Thanks for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.